You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Make It Count. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
We're in a series called Make It Count. And the reason why we're spending some time on this is because I want to help you to minimize the regrets in your life. So that you don't come to the end of your life and you learned what God wanted to do in and through you, and yet for some reason it never happened. And so you only have one life, I only have one life, and we want to be able to make it count. What I want to do today is I want to help us to put ourselves in a position of where God can do something for you and in you and through you and even to you, that your life, because of today, will never, ever, ever be the same. And so I'm glad that you're here. Now I want to jump right in, and you can take your notes and follow along. You can download it on our app as well. But I want to tell you a story, or maybe walk you through a story in the Gospel of John, John chapter 5. And I want us to look at a specific story, and then I'm going to come back and I want to help us on how we can make this applicable in our own life, in our everyday life. And so it goes like this as John records it. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. He goes on to say this: here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And basically what he's saying here is he's given you and I the condition of the place there at the pool of Bethesda. And he's basically saying everyone here has a specific condition about them. They might be blind, they might be lame, they might be paralyzed. And so it is here today. Every single one of us that's here today, we have a specific condition about our life, emotionally and spiritually. And yet the fact of the matter is it's not visible. These conditions were visible, but many times our condition is not visible emotionally or spiritually. We can cover it up, and we can live in that state for a long, long, long time. And no one ever knows. We just suffer alone. And so here's my question for you. Where are you at today? What is your condition emotionally? What is your condition spiritually? John goes on to say this: one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe whatever you're dealing with emotionally or spiritually, you've been dealing with it for a long, long time. It surfaces every once in a while. But basically, you've been able to manage it to one degree or another. And maybe you're like this guy at the pool of Bethesda. So let me ask you this. Where do you need help? Where do you need change? You got it in your mind? If there's something that you could change in your life, what would it be? Probably most of us, if we're honest, we would say a situation, a circumstance, maybe a person. You know, it'd go something like this. I'd change my spouse. I'd change my boss. I'd change my kid. I'd change my finances. I'd change fill in the blank. But truth be known, probably very few of us, if any of us, would say, I'd change my anger. I'd change my critical spirit. I would change my selfishness. I would change my controlling spirit. I would change. Because the fact of the matter is, many times we think that our issues and our problems are other people. And what I would suggest to us today is, it's all about you. Now, I know that we've heard that we should never say that, because we'll even say something like this: well, it's not about me. Well, the fact of the matter is, it needs to be about you. It needs to be about you. Because if you never make it about you, it will truly never be about someone else. Until you and I make it about us, we'll never be able to get on and focus on other people. And we see this here in this story. He goes on to say this: when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, that doesn't seem like a very logical question, does it? I mean, the man has been laying there for 38 years. 38 years. What a foolish question. What do you mean, do I want to get well? You think I like living in this state? You think I like being paralyzed? You think I like being lame? Do you think I like not being able to get up and run around? But here's what I believe. Here's what I've sensed. People come to church often and have no desire to change. People come to church often, have no desire to get well. Based on what they hear, or based on what they experience. And we come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we remain the same old person, and we never change. That's why I think this question is very intriguing, because Jesus is really getting at the core. He's basically saying, dude, this is all about you. Do you want to get well? I know about all the people around you, but do you want to get well? You see, we all have relationships of where we say, I do this, I don't do this, right? I mean, we have relationships maybe with a spouse, maybe with a friend, maybe with a dentist, maybe with a doctor, maybe with a boss, maybe with a friend. I don't do that. I do this. I remember one time, this was probably almost 25 years ago, maybe 26 years ago. This was when we were in Sugar Creek, all right? And we had a transit come by. And he came by and he told me he was hungry. And this was early in the morning. This was probably about 9 o'clock. And he said, would you buy me some food? And I said, well, I tell you what, I've got to teach a Sunday school class, and I've got to teach a message. And then after that, if you're here, I'll be glad to help you. He said, okay. So he hung around, surprisingly. And I thought, this dude must be hungry. And so I took him to the store, and we got up to the deli, and I said, I'll take a pound of chip-chopped ham. And he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, oh, I don't do chip-chop ham. He said, roast beef, please. You don't believe me, but that's the truth. And I'm standing there, and I'm wondering, how hungry is this dude? He's telling me, I don't do this. I don't do that. I only do this. And you know what? We do that with one another. But you know what else? We do it with God. We do it with God. We say, oh, God, I don't do this. I don't do that. I only will do this. And so what happens is, We say that there's something in our life that we would like for it to be different. We'd like for our marriage to be different. We'd like for our relationships to be different. We'd like for our work to be different. We'd like for filling our finances to be different. And then God begins to say, okay, do you really want to get well in that area? And we say, oh, I don't do that. And so what happens is basically we're more concerned about God changing our circumstances than God changing us. And so let me ask you this question again. Where do you want to change? Where do you want to change? And what I'm saying is it's all about you. It's all about you. Have you flown lately? You know, you get on that airplane and the flight attendant comes out. And here's what they say. If we would happen to lose altitude, the mask will drop. And when the mask drops, what we'd like for you to do is place the mask on all the people around you that you love dearly, especially your kids. Is that what they say? It's not what they say at all. They say something that's counterintuitive. What do they say? They say, first, make it all about yourself. First, place the mask squarely upon your face and secure it, so that you will be in position to help those around you. See, what did they just do? They just made it all about you. Because if you and I are not in a position of where we're breathing air, we're not going to be able to help anybody around us. And this is why this is so important. This is why Jesus was asking, do you want to get well? The story goes on like this. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water is stirred. While I was trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now, you know what? The guy's not only lame, he's deaf. Is that the question that Jesus asked him? No. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? And he goes on something else. He says, well, let me tell you why I'm not well. I have no one to help me. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. What's he doing? He's making all kinds of excuses. Making all kinds of excuses. And see, what happens is we have to ask ourselves this question. Do we come to church to change, or do we come to church to feel better? You see, there's a difference. You know, I need a little up, so I think I'm going to come to church today. I need a little encouragement, so I think I'm going to come to church today. Or I need a little comfort, so I'm going to come to church today. And the pool of Bethesda represented a place of comfort. It represented a place of comfort, a place where all of the people had similar problems. Don't you like to be around people who have similar problems like you? It makes us feel comfortable. Well, I'm not the only one. And what happens is it's very dangerous, because what happens is you begin to think that's normal. And even in our own dysfunction. And I can just imagine this guy is saying, hey, you know what? I've been this way for 38 years. It's not going to change. Nothing's really going to help me. You know, some things never change. And he's full of excuses. Question, what excuse do you have for remaining the way that you are? Well, I've been this way. It was the family that I grew up in. It was my dad. It was my mom. It was this experience. It was that experience. You see, this guy was making all kinds of excuses. He was answering questions that was not being asked. But Jesus wanted to get to the core, because it was really all about him. Now, what you need to understand is verse 4 is not there. in most manuscripts, because he's talking about, well, I try to get in, someone else goes down, but they have a footnote, and it's probably in your Bible as well, and I just want to read it for us. It's in verse 4, okay, or it would have been in verse 4. It says, from time to time, an angel would come down and stir up the waters. The first one in the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. And so basically what he was saying is, I was waiting for God to come down. I was waiting for God to do something. I was waiting for God to do the miraculous. And that's why he says this. He says, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Doesn't he realize who is in front of him? Who's in front of him? God in the flesh. God in the flesh was there, and he was still making excuses. Do you know that God's here today? And he wants to change you. He wants to change me. He wants to change us. And what happens sometimes, we want God to come down and change our marriage. We want God to come down and change our finances. We want God to come down and change our career. And God says, wait a second. I'm here, and I will help you. I will empower you. I will give you grace. But we want God to do the miraculous when maybe God is asking us, and he can. And by the way, what he said here was true. The invalid wasn't lying. He told the truth. What he didn't realize is God's greater than that, though. And so you and I can come with our excuses, and you know what? That may be true. That may be true. That may be true. But God is greater than all of that. And so here's what Jesus ends up saying to him. He says this, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Wow. And that's what God wants to do for you and me today. The question is, what does it look like to get up? What does it look like to pick up your mat? What does it look like to walk? That's a process. That's a process. You see, Jesus said this. John records this. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about a process. He's saying you have to hold to my teaching. Not just experience it once, but you have to live it out. You have to hold to it day by day. And then you'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free. And so to get up and to pick up your mat and walk is to be committed to a process. A process. God is all about processes. And we don't like processes. You see, it's not enough for you to want to change. It's not even enough for you to have a desire to change. Do you know what else? It's not even enough for you to pray for change. God, come down, change my marriage. God, come down, change me. God, come down, change. And God says, no, you know what? I'm a part of the process, but you are too. And I need you to be committed to that process. Look what Proverbs has to say. Proverbs says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit your process. Commit your actions to the Lord. And guess what? He'll help you and your plans will succeed. So what I want to do in my remaining time is I want to walk you through a process that I believe that if we are committed to, God will do something in your heart and my life. It's very simple. Let me give it to you today. Here's the first thing. We need to immerse ourselves in God's love. Immerse myself in God's love. That's the first part of the process. It's foundational. Here's what John says, okay? John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. perfect love casts out all fear. So I have to immerse myself in God's love. I need to do this every single day so that it'll drive out fear. Because what happens is when I'm immersed in love, it enables me to do three things. The first thing that it enables me to do is to see with clarity. You'll be able to see yourself with clarity. You'll be able to see God with clarity. The second thing that love enables us to do is to choose with wisdom. We can choose with wisdom because we're not paralyzed by fear. And then ultimately, we can act with courage. We can act with courage. And so the first thing that you and I need to do in this process, if we're going to be free, if we're going to experience everything that God has, we have to immerse ourselves in God's love. This is why I repeatedly tell you over and over again, there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you less. But you have to immerse yourself in that every single day. Here's the second step that I would encourage you to do, and that is this: examine my life. Now, this is why it's so important that we immerse ourselves in God's love. Because if you don't feel and experience God's love, you'll never look inside of you. You'll be too fearful. See, the psalmist prayed this. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life." He says, "God, you can search me." And if you would read Psalms 139, the reason why he's able to say this is because he knows that God loves him. And so we need to be able to ask God this question: God, will you search me? And I want to give you some areas that we need to look at when we ask God to search me. Here's the first one. The first one is anger. Okay, what is anger? Anger is extreme or inappropriate displays of anger that are often evidence of emotional strongholds stemming from a pain past, from past pain. And so I need to ask, God, am I angry? Here's the second one, insecurity. And what is insecurity? Insecurity is constantly demanding attention, needing to be emotionally propped up on a regular basis, being overly concerned about appearance or position. God, am I insecure? How about this one right here? Pride. What is pride? Pride is, I'm always right. I can't admit when I'm wrong. I refuse to ask or accept help. I don't receive instructions very well. Search my heart, God. How about this one right here? How about independence? Independence is this: I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone. I'm very guarded. I won't listen to counsel. It usually stems from rejection or perceived abandonment. It's where we live a life of protection. We're in the protection mode. We guard ourselves clearly because I wouldn't want to get hurt again. I couldn't allow myself to be hurt again. How about this one right here? Touchiness, all right? Touchiness. What's touchiness? It's where people are easily offended. They're easily offended. They take things very personally. You never know if they're really upset because you have to walk on eggshells around them. Watch what you say to him. Watch what you do over there with her. You never know. They're pretty touchy. How about this one right here, all right? How about excessive shyness or loneliness? Excessive shyness or loneliness. What creates that in someone? I'm not talking about a personality, but what happens is when someone is excessively shy or they experience loneliness, it usually goes back to the fear of people. The fear of people. And then how about this one right here, this last one? A need to control. A need to control. That means that it's a need to dominate and not to yield. And so what happens is, if we're going to be able to be free, if we're going to experience everything that God has for us, we got to immerse ourselves into God's love. We have to examine our life, and then we have to face and admit the truth. Wow. We have to face and admit the truth. Am I angry? Am I insecure? Am I touchy? Am I independent? Am I prideful? You see, the psalmist writes this in Psalms 51:6. You, talking about God, desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part of you, you will make me to know wisdom. Anybody want to be wise? You got to face the truth and you got to admit the truth about us. And we can do that because we know that God loves us. And it's the process of being free. If you hold to my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then the fourth one is this. The fourth one is just repent and confess. Repent and confess. Very simple. Once I face and admit the truth, now I need to repent. And what does that mean? Well, Acts 3:19 says this, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent means to have a change of mind, the change of way in which you think. I'm going to think differently about being independent. I'm going to think about being different and not so insecure. I'm going to think about that, and I'm going to turn from that, and I'm going to allow God to refresh me. And then confession. And this is so, so huge, a part of the process, okay? Repent and confess. Look at what James tells us. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Wow, healed. You see, if I don't confess my sin, whether it's pride, whether it's insecurity, whether it's being independent, any of the need to control, I'll never be healed from that. Y'all right on that one? So I don't have to tell everybody, but I need to tell somebody. Confession means to agree with what? With what God has said about me and what God has said about you. And then here's the sixth one. I need to extend forgiveness. Because anytime I do an examination, okay, in the process, guess what? God always brings somebody to my mind that I need to forgive. And I need to extend forgiveness. Why? Well, look at what Ephesians tells us. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So God does not withhold forgiveness from me, so I shouldn't withhold it from anyone. And listen to me, you'll never be free if you have somebody in your life that you are withholding forgiveness from. You'll never be free. That's why it's all about you. You get to choose whether you forgive or not. And then the sixth part of this process is to surrender. Surrender what? Surrender control of my life to God. Paul calls us to this. Here's what he says in Romans. This is so powerful. Do not let sin control your body. Do not let pride. Do not let arrogance. Do not let anger. All of those things that we mentioned control your body any longer. Don't give in to its sinful desire, but give yourself completely to God, every part of you, to be used for His purposes. And so I come back and I say, God, you know what? You have all of me, and I can do that because I know that you love me. Have you ever done that? See, it's part of the process. And then you know what else I do? I renew my mind daily. I got to renew my mind daily because you know what? The enemy wants to come in and speak lies to me. See, Paul says in Romans 12, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, by changing the way in which I think about God, about myself, and about others. You see, Psalms 119 says this, and this is so, so powerful. Look at this. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. You know the way to have great peace? You know the way to not be so touchy and easily offended? Do you know the way not to stumble in life? Renew your mind by God's truth, by God's truth. So you renew your mind daily. And then number eight is this, you enlist support. We can't do this alone. We just can't do this alone. We need help. We need help. And the wisest man who lived apart from Jesus understood this. Here's what he said. Two are better off than one because together, if the one falls down, the other one can help him up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You say, Dwight, do you do this process perfectly? No. I trip and stumble. I fall. So I need somebody in my life who will help me and say, hey, you need to face and admit truth. Hey, you know what? You need to repent of that. Hey, you know what? You need to search your heart on that, Dwight. We all need to enlist support. That's why we encourage you to be a part of a group. And then finally, here's what we need to do. If we're going to be committed to this process and hold on to his teachings and allow his truth to set us free, we need to share our story. We need to share our story. Look at this verse right here. And Paul, the one who exemplifies all of this, okay? He would say, I'm the chief of sinners, and yet he was the freest man who ever walked on planet Earth, okay, apart from Christ. He says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. You know what he says? When you go through this process, you're going to find God's comfort. It's going to transform you. It's going to change you. And as you share it with other people, it will be renewed, and it will go deeper and deeper in you, and it'll not only confirm what God is doing in your life, but it will help other people as well. You say, Dwight, that's nice. It is. And you know what? I got proof of it. I want you to listen to this story from Dana, and you will see how all of this connects. Watch this.
I think abuse comes in many forms and often not recognized. When going over my life and trying to think of the different forms of abuse that I had been through, I can't think of many that I have not. I carried with me intense sadness, rage and anger, and intense fear. I found ways to work through the pain. It began with shopping at one point because shopping makes you feel good for a minute. After a couple more years of that, I caught myself flirting because if I got a moment of a response from a man, it was another moment that would feel good to bury all the symptoms of what I was going through on the inside of me. My whole body would shake. There were times I felt like I couldn't go to church because I couldn't get my body to stop shaking. It was very visible to others. Panic attacks started coming in time too. It affected me emotionally, physically, and spiritually. There was so much fear and so much pain. And so much anger that I turned to cutting. That's hard for many people to understand why someone would do that to themselves. And I would say the best way for me to explain it was there was so much emotional pain in me that I would cut to feel better. I went to the church for help, and I spoke with Sandy Kahn and Chad Stutzman, and telling them some of the uglies that were in my life. I explained to them that I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know me, that there were times where I was so desperate inside and everything was so dark on the inside and my thoughts were so dark and so sad that I would climb up this mountain and there were rocks and briars and it was hard and I just kept climbing and climbing and climbing and finally I got to the top and there was Jesus. And I could wrap my arms around his feet and he would talk me through it. And she said, Dana, why is he so far away? Why is there that climb? She introduced me to Dave Kahn, who didn't know me. But because he has such a love for God, he gave up his time for me. And I knew he was going to make me start conquering my fears. So I dove in. There's a point where you have to choose between faith and fear. And I chose to face some fears, some strong fears, through faith. God's with me. God's carrying me. God's going to protect me. I can see now that I didn't have to be there. I did not have to climb that mountain alone. We all have immediate access to him. When you try to carry it on your own, there's going to be a mountain. Choosing faith over fear, I started to be set free. My depression has ceased a lot, and my anxiety has ceased a lot. As far as the cutting, which was the hardest thing for me to let go of, oddly, and I always kept something around that just in case, those are gone. I don't think about that. I don't fight that anymore. I'm not 100% where I need to be, but wherever God's going to take me, I'm going to continue to grow in that. I think what puts a stamp on my whole story and where I feel like I'm at today is I am so free and so thankful. I am the daughter of a king. I came up with a saying at the end that I wrote in my journal that says, I don't have everything I ever wished for, but I have way more than I ever dreamed of. And I'm thankful.
Wow. Did you pick up some of the process? She feels loved. That allowed her to search her heart. That allowed her to face and admit truth. It allowed her to repent and confess. It allowed her to extend forgiveness. It allowed her to surrender to the King. It allowed her to enlist support. It allowed her to share her story. You see, when you immerse yourself in God's love, it enables you to see things clearly, even if they're painful. It allows you to choose with wisdom. And it allows you to act with courage. Maybe you came here today to feel better, but God said, no, I drew you here to change you, to transform you. Do you want to get well? You see, it's all about you. It's not about the person in front of you, behind you, beside you, at home, at work. It's about you. And Jesus is here. And he's greater than all of my excuses and all of your excuses. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you just want to say something like this. God, help me to experience your love at such a deep and personal level that I can face and admit truth, even if it's painful. God, I'm tired of just wanting to feel better. I want to be well. I want to be made whole. Help me to commit to a process, not just one and done, but a process that allows you and me to be engaged with one another. Help me to do what I need to do. And then help me to trust you to do what only you can do. We thank you, God, that you love us. We thank you that you want the very best for us. And today we choose to trust you. And it's in Jesus' name that we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.